Please forgive me, I am not a statistician. So if you have statistical questions, you might want to contact my colleague, Barbara Seitz de Martinez. Every day we cross multiple borders without even being aware of them, voting districts, zip codes, school districts, and so on. Yet our data is organized by these lines and demarcations. Thousands of Indiana residents live in counties that share a border with another state. These residents' lives are impacted by the policies, practices, and socioeconomic conditions of their neighbors in Ohio, Illinois, Kentucky, and Michigan. To ignore this would be foolish, yet our technologies and ways of thinking often work against our ability to take a broader approach. We at the Indiana Prevention Resource Center have taken steps to better serve those in our state that live near the state's border. This presentation will explain what we have done and will point out the obstacles that have made it difficult for us to accomplish. I will show how we are reaching beyond the borders of Indiana to access available data for neighboring counties and regions and using GIS software to overcome the obstacles inherent in our default resources and infrastructures. I have no relationships to disclose. We will learn why it is imperative to surmount borders, how borders present barriers to success, ways technologies obstruct and facilitate surmounting borders, that we need to acknowledge our power to influence others and be responsible with data reporting, and that we need to acknowledge our neighbors' influence over us and work together to find solutions to problems. We live in, within and beyond boundaries. Society develops with a certain disregard for boundaries. Sometimes the course of history bumps up against boundaries, expands in defiance of boundaries, and creates new, more complicated entities. The development of commerce and settlement patterns can cause new groupings of people with shared interests and cultures. For example, when cities grow and populations spill over from over borders from county to county and state to state. Approximately one-third of Indiana counties share a border with another state. 9 with Ohio, 11 with Kentucky, 10 with Illinois, 5 with Michigan. 2 counties share a border with Lake Michigan and have greater environmental concerns regarding water pollution, fishing, and transportation by ship. These 2 counties are, of course, part of the Chicago urban area. People and their societies defy boundaries. This slide shows the 10 largest Midwestern cities. Since we are looking at and across the borders of Indiana, we will concentrate on the Midwest. If you live near Chicago, you know that the people living in the Chicago area include persons in cities in Indiana. And debatably, you could make a case for people living in the southern area of Wisconsin. Usually, life patterns evolve first and institution recognition and reaction follow. The U.S. Census Bureau has come to recognize the multi-state dimensions of the identity and geography of the country's largest urban areas. Here are the 10 largest urban areas in the Midwest. People continue to carve out their lives, governments follow behind. Even so, the Chicago urban area is defined by the Census Bureau as spanning parts of Illinois and Indiana. St. Louis extends into Illinois, Kansas City occupies parts of Missouri and Kansas, Cincinnati actually crosses the Ohio border into Kentucky and Indiana. These formal recognitions by the Census Bureau have implications for institutional programs and practices calling for coordination of activities among those governments involved. This recognition would tend to spur the availability of grants for services serving the broader urban area, as contrasted with distinct services serving only the chunk that belongs to one or the other state. This final slide in the series lists metro areas in the Midwest. You see here the recognition of dimensions of the Chicago-tied populations, cultures, and infrastructure that reach even further than the so-called urban area. As metro area, the U.S. Census Bureau recognizes that Chicago and Minneapolis currently extend into Wisconsin. Such things as transportation infrastructure, workforce and entertainment preferences, activities and routines are associated with these distinctions. The population figures here bring into a new multi-state collective, people from different government residences. This means policies, laws, and many other aspects of life will vary across the total population. There will be particularly strong cross-influences due to the degree of interaction going among these individuals who have a high level of contact across state lines. Sometimes, in the case of Indiana, time zones are a clear example of the influence. Indiana residents near Chicago today live on Central Time like Illinois or Wisconsin. Until recently, Indiana residents living near Ohio and Kentucky also operated on different time zones than the majority of Indiana. Indiana and Florida are the closest to the national murder rate without reaching it. Illinois, Michigan, D.C., and the southern states are at or above the national level. D.C. is the highest at 798. As you can see, Indiana falls almost right in the middle of the four surrounding states. But to just look at the numbers on a statewide level does not give us a clear picture of Indiana's murder rate. Is it similar across the state? Are there areas that are more concentrated? Crime rate. Indiana's rate of 90 shows influence of the lower crime rate along the Kentucky border and of conditions characteristic of Indiana in its midsection. Indiana seems intermediary between Kentucky and other states. This map was created using the default, which seeks to put an equal number of counties into each range. We learn from this map that the majority of the counties fall well under the national and state overall rates of crime. In order to be able to address the broader environment in which Indiana residents live and provide for them the same kind of support we give to those who live in the central regions of the state, we have purchased demographic and risk and protective factor data for the four states that border Indiana. In this way, we can provide information to support prevention planning, fund seeking, and decision making that reflects the context in which they live. We can provide income, consumer spending, and lifestyle information for not only the geographic area where they live in Indiana, but we can also provide information for the area across the state line that is in proximity to their place of residence. An obstacle is the fact that we need to purchase five states worth of data rather than being able to purchase the data for only those counties that border Indiana. It's rather expensive, but for us it's worth the expenditure. Here we see the annual average per household spending on tobacco products by persons 18 and over represented as the percentage of the average household income. We see commonalities by region. It is in those regions we need to work with our neighboring states to address these problems. Illinois has a statewide clean indoor air policy or smoking ordinance. Indiana does not. Most of our cities and counties that border Illinois do not have any kind of smoking ordinance. This difference in policy can have an influence on prevention programs. Another occurrence with the passage of the Illinois smoking law is that it includes casinos. In Indiana, the majority of casinos are located on rivers, which are generally on the state line. Some casinos in each state are actually right down the road from each other. The smoking law has influenced both directions, whether smokers and non-smokers, and which casinos that they choose to go to. This is a county in Indiana. It's located on the border of Kentucky. You can see on the slide the cutout from Indiana to Kentucky right below where the most schools are located. One school almost directly on top of the border. Kentucky has a much lower cigarette tax than Indiana, which creates many problems with people bringing tobacco across the state line. Also, this area of our state is a high tobacco production area, adding another element to the social acceptance of tobacco use. Retail outlet inspections, which is what is shown here, the X's are stores that sold tobacco to people under the age of 18 in their proximity to schools. Retail outlet inspections are conducted regularly and with certain penalty have been shown to be effective. But if you live on a border to another state that does not conduct inspections regularly, your efforts could then be undermined. Coordinating such efforts across state borders can be difficult, if not impossible, when state law comes into play. Here we see annual average household spending on alcohol products by persons 18 and over represented as the percentage of the average household income. We see commonalities by region. Where heavy drinking is a culture and norm, the risk of underage drinking is increased. Denial of a problem with underage drinking and resistance to taking action to combat the problem are more likely in these areas. One boundary we can look at is college campuses. Using our mapping system, we are able to pinpoint alcohol locations in their proximity to college campuses and to get an idea of how many college campuses are located in a small area. Coalitions to reduce underage drinking use this data not only to plan programs, but to meet with key community and university leaders to show concern regarding alcohol availability. This data also assists in helping to pass statewide legislation regarding alcohol availability. The 1 or 2 mile radius around some schools or other locations will extend across state boundaries. In some communities, you can be 18 and get into nightclubs as long as you don't drink. In other communities, you must be 21. Some communities have alcohol at many family-oriented events. Other communities don't allow alcohol at all, dry counties. This has the potential to send a very mixed message to young college students. There can be extraneous variables or atypical situations, like the lopsided demographics of college towns, that could skew stats and result in their seeming to indicate one thing when really they don't. In a college town, the per capita income is extremely low, suggesting poverty, when really it is because the population is so young and so heavily in school rather than working. In the last slide, the county appeared to be more impoverished community, which could indicate less college education, but in this case, you can see that the same county is actually on one of the highest in regards to college degrees. And looking at the data for methamphetamine lab seizures, we can see that we have pockets of problems, particularly heavy along the Illinois-Kentucky-Indiana border region. Commonly, there is an abundance of farmland in this area. However, state law and enforcement may be very different across state lines, causing either an increase or decrease in lab busts, but not necessarily indicating users and their locations. We have learned that we need to acknowledge our power to influence others and take more seriously our responsibility to be a positive influence. Data cannot always be taken at face value, and how laws or programs can have a direct influence on data. Because Indiana has more methadone clinics than neighboring states, they are easier to access for people, we have many people who travel from out of state to receive methadone treatment for their heroin addiction. The data may indicate we have more of a heroin problem than we do. Thus, policies and programs may be contributing to both progress in treatment, but also problems with funding allocation and local programming. Our center allocates many resources, people, and funding to put together county-level reports and information that can be accessed by anyone in the country. If all states followed a similar procedure or engaged in data sharing, we would only need to purchase and produce reports for our state. National conferences such as APHA give us the opportunity to share this information in hopes to influence other states to do the same. If we can get into neighboring states, counties, or communities and collect data or find out what data they have and if they will share their data, we can better tailor our prevention programs to serve the needs of our areas. You can find data easily online for free, but many times it's not complete, accurate, or the information is not easily readable or easy for us to use. Thank you.
Again, we have about a minute if you want to come up and start yours while we're waiting for him to do his presentation. Any questions? Okay, our next two presentations will be by Nabil Khorezadi. The first is Utility of Classification and Regression Trees, Analysis and Assessing the Impact of a Behavioral Psychosocial Intervention of Resolving Multiple Risk Among High-Risk Pregnant Minority Women. And then he'll continue with Application of Classification and Regression Trees Methodology to Evaluate a Behavioral Intervention Impacting Poor Pregnancy Outcomes Among Minority Women, a Randomized Clinical Trial.